be in Hebrews chapter 11. I forgot to tell you, I had a funny thing I was singing about when I was preaching this morning about when I was a little boy and then my grandmother and step-grandmother took me to that Hard Shell Baptist Church, all kind of Baptists if you didn't know that, but Hard Shell Baptist. I said, man, I went in there, I thought about this when I was preaching. I said, yeah, when I heard all that going on and saw, I was shell shocked. Hard shell shocked, man. I've never seen nothing go on like that in my life. But that really stuck in my mind. Old wooden white church on the outside, buddy. No air, windows open, them old hard pews, and everybody was packed in there like sardines. They had the balcony filled out, man. I mean, it was, I think they were on the radio back then. I wasn't sure, but I mean, it was just like an amazing thing to see this guy. And he preached, like a Hard Shell Baptist preaches. And, see that guy come down there to the altar. I'd never seen anything like that. Man, I never forget it, man. Think about that old guy, 90-some years old, man, finally got saved. Blind man. Think about how I don't know how many years he lived after that, how many years he had left, but he had more behind him than in front. And I know that. And he got saved at that age. It's so hard for somebody that old to get saved. You never know what their story was, but it's a hard thing. I got kind of a different message for us tonight. I God really laid this on my heart, and just kind of got it down together really fast because I felt like this is a direction that God was leading me into. And the title of the message is Testimony. And in Hebrews 11:5, it says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." That he pleased God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the night, and thank you for those young people up here singing tonight. What a blessing that was for us, and we're just hoping and praying, Lord, we can reach those young hearts with your word, the gospel message, Lord. We hope that we can be impressed upon them, Lord, who you are, what you are, the importance of trusting you and early in their lives. Lord, help us as we... What a responsibility, a privilege you've given us to have those young kids here in this church, and help us to understand that responsibility, Lord. And we're praying once again for a revival. Lord, we don't need to wait till the meeting starts, but we know we can have a revival in our hearts at any point in time. We can have a revival in a church at any point in time. We're asking for you to meet with us again, Lord. Don't leave us here without you, Lord. We're just together and everybody's here but you, Lord. We need you above all things, and Lord, don't forsake us, Lord, but we're asking for you to pour your spirit out in a powerful way at every service, and we're asking for it tonight, Lord, and help us, Lord, to have a testimony in the world we live in, and we'll thank you in advance, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The Bible there talking about Enoch, it said, and of course this is referring back to an Old Testament verse before he was translated. What that means is Enoch walked so close with God that God came down in a whirlwind and carried Enoch out right on up into heaven. Man, I mean, he was translated. He didn't die, in other words. I mean, he just went right out of earth. Right off the earth, right into heaven. I know it's a picture of the rapture to come for the saints that'll be alive when the Lord comes back. But there's several things about that. It says before his translation, before that God came and carried him off into heaven in a whirlwind, he had a testimony that he pleased God. You know, when you think about that, well, what do you got to do to please God? You know, what do you do? What means please God? Well, I know that, we already right off the bat, we think, well, he's obedient, but I wrote it down this way. He pleased God by not separating what God taught him from everyday life. In other words, I mean, he walked with the Lord every day. I don't know what day of the week that was, but he walked with the Lord every day, so close to God that God said one day, hey, we're just closer to my, this is what my pastor used to say, we're closer to my house. The Lord said, we're closer to my house than we are yours. Just come on home with me. And man, he took him right on out of there. Man, I mean, what a testimony that is, that he walked with God every day. Now, I looked up testimony as a definition in the dictionary, and it said evidence based on observation. A testimony, evidence based on observation or knowledge or an outward sign. And so it's evidence based on what people see, that they see a testimony. Now, everybody's got a testimony of some kind. It could be a good one. It could be a bad one. But you got one, whether you want to have it or not. You've got a testimony of some kind. But, you know, we're supposed to, as Christians, have a testimony or testify of Jesus Christ. I was telling you this morning about when God called at certain times in my life when I was in that church, that Hardshell Baptist Church. And I remember that just first time I got a taste of something like that. And Stella, my grandmother, didn't tell you about this. She was my step-grandmother. Things didn't pan out with her and my grandfather, but there was a little couple-year period in my life that I spent some time with them. But I'll tell you what, she was faithful, man. We would have breakfast and she would pray and she would talk to me about the Lord and she talked to me about salvation. I was just starting to, I'd never heard it. You know, I'd never heard anybody talk salvation. I'd never heard that word. And I was trying to get the grasp of it. She was planting those seeds. And then later on at the old Lazy Bee campground, a guy come down there and preached to us. And then in Sicily, when God talked to me and I started to learn a few things, I didn't give you the rest of the story. God called out one more time. God did call out one more time, August 1987. We started thinking about going to church. Sherry and I had gotten married, and she said, well, I'm going to go look for a church. I said, okay, that's great. Do the typical man thing, let the wife do it, right? Because I wasn't saved. And she went out and looked around, and then this Independent Baptist Church came, visited the house. And they came and talked to me about the Lord, I resisted a little bit. One guy was a little forceful, and I resisted that somewhat. And then, they came back, and so we went to church. We said, Sunday, she said, you want to go? I said, yeah. She said, where do you want to go? I said, well, that one church is the only church that came and visited us. I said, let's go there. It was like the guys seemed pretty nice. We went there, Independent Baptist Church, man, the guy preached it up. I kind of like that, man. I mean, I just like the guy preaching hard and Pastor Woodard. And that Thursday, his son, man, his son, Wayne Woodard, he was trying to get the easy visit, man. You know, we go out on visitation regularly and it was scary, you know. So Wayne comes up, he says, hey, man, I want to, he was about my age. He said, I'm going to come visit you on Thursday night, all right? I said, okay. So Wayne was all happy because he had his visit nailed down and he knew I was going to let him in, wasn't going to shoot him or nothing like that. But when Thursday came around, I was eating supper and Sherry had put on my refrigerator door. She said, Daniel, I think these people really have a burden for your soul. She wrote that and had a little note on the door. I'll never forget about it. Well, you know, I was in there and I'd been mowing the grass. She said, supper's ready, man. I come in and ate, and then about that time, I think Wayne called or something, said, hey, I'm not going to be able to make it. I said, okay, and was going out the door, but here comes Daddy, the pastor, and a couple of other guys come in from the church, and they came in there. Danielle was just a little baby. She wasn't a year old yet, and Sherry and I was talking about it tonight. I couldn't remember what year exactly it was. We was trying to pin the time down, but anyway, they asked me if I'd ever asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, forgive me of my sins. I said, no, I've never done that. Showed me what the Bible says. Okay, I got a testimony that I got saved in August of 1987, got baptized in September of 1987, joined the choir in September of 1987, got a haircut in September of 1987. You know, a lot of things, or in August of 1987, huh? I mean, I just jumped right in, man. I mean, I got in, got baptized. The pastor was going down the steps. I said, listen, I said, I want to get baptized. When can you do it? I said, I want to join the choir. When can I join? You know, I mean, it wasn't no like having to drag all these things out of my life, thank God for that, man. I think back to those days, man. It was an exciting time in my life. But, you know, the Bible says this. It says in Psalms 107:2, I quoted this to you this morning. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Man, that's let the redeemed of the earth. If you're saved, see, that's us, and say so. Man, tell people about it. Man, you know these people, sometimes you lead somebody to the Lord and you tell them and you know about half their family and everything, and they say, yeah, you know, I want to get saved. Okay, I'm pray the prayer and all that. And then like a week, 2 weeks later, you start talking to their family about it, and they say, well, they didn't say nothing about it. No, we didn't hear nothing about it. We didn't know they got saved. You know, kind of something wrong with that, right? It says, let the redeemed of the earth say so. That we ought to say, hey, man, I'm a Christian. Man, when I first moved down this area right here, I got another job and all, I just said, you know what, I'm not going to be a nut, but I'm going to let people know I'm a Christian man. I'm going to let them know, and I put a little bit of pressure on myself by doing that to live a Christian life in the eyes of the people that was around me. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so, man. I mean, we ought to have a testimony that we're God's people. We ought to be happy to say that. We ought to want to tell others about the Lord. Psalm 60 verse 4 says, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. You know, I want to study that verse a little bit more. I didn't really look up that. I want to look at all the words in that, and that would be in either Hebrew or Aramaic right there. I want to look at those a little bit. We got a banner. Now, the banner is a flag. That means we got a flag that we would fly. But we don't have a banner as such, but we have some sort of a banner that God has given, you know, and I think it's going to be the things, the fruit of the Spirit. I got a feeling when I look at this, this is what it's going to be. If not, it'll apply very well. I got a banner of joy. I got a banner of faithfulness. You know, I got a banner of long suffering. You know, all the fruits of the Spirit is a banner that we ought to have in our life, man. We got the Word of God. I mean, we've got this banner right here that we can carry the Bible and around, but more, you know, the banner of righteousness, living a right life before the world, that they should see that as a testimony. I mean, I love those verses in the Bible where it says that those people took note that the disciples had been with Jesus. Well, how did they know they had been with Jesus, man? I mean, it wasn't like anything sticking to them just because, and Jesus wasn't around. They took note because there was probably a glow on their face. There was some love in their heart. Man, they had a word on their lips that they were witnesses telling others about how to be saved. They took note. They had some wisdom too, by the way, by doing that. And so, we ought to have that as a testimony. 1 Chronicles 16:8 says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Make known His deeds among the people. And I think that's make known His deeds among the saved people and the lost people too. I mean, I think we need to make known what God is doing. What a testimony. There's not a greater testimony that we have is when we tell somebody what God is doing for us. What God has done for us, man, that the Lord has, how the Lord has blessed us. And I'll have something else to say about that as far as a testimony among our own selves here tonight. And so I looked up, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about the testimony of God's people. And I didn't even exhaust it all, and it's not really that long, but as I got a few things I want to do a little bit differently. But one thing the Bible says about a testimony, having a testimony or testifying, is number one, unceasingly. That we're to testify unceasingly. Isaiah 62:6. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Keep not silence. You know, I don't think really when we get saved, it's hard not to tell somebody about that, that when you got saved. You know, that should be something when it's a reality that we're excited about that. And, you know, we don't have to separate when we talk about, you know, God, or when we talk about the Lord, or, you know, it says day and night, man, that we ought to be talking about the great things that God has done. I was sharing with you when I felt like in Sicily where God's presence was so overwhelming in the room. But you know what precipitated that was us starting to talk about God. And I don't know about you, but this is the way it is with me, man. I talk about deer hunting and I talk about football and we talk about motorcycles and all that, and we do all that too. But boy, when you get around God's people and you start talking about the things of God, boy, I don't know, you ever get jacked up? I mean, man, you start getting pumped up. And I'm going to tell you what, like that night with Chili, man, I mean, the time just flew by, man. I mean, time goes, you start talking. And sometimes just talking, like me and Sherry will get to talking about things of the Lord in the house. You know, we'll start talking about what God's doing, what God has done, and those type of things. And we'll look up verses in the Bible. She was, I told her I was working on my Sunday morning message the other day, and I ran in there, man, I was all excited. Sometimes I'll run out of the bedroom. Boy, listen to this, man. Listen to this. I got a point right here. Listen to this. And I went in there. I said, hey, look, I'm trying to find a verse. I can't find it. I know about where it is. I said, look for it. It's in 1st or 2nd Kings. I said, look it up. And man, I ran back in the house, ran back in my room. And boy, I got to come out of there. And I was all done. I said, man, I got my outline done. I come out there all grinning. She says, what about that verse that I was looking up? Did you ever find it? Man, I forgot all about that. I didn't even put it in the message. I didn't get it in there, man. But I was excited because, you know, we were just talking about what the things of God. Man, I got out of the shower this morning. I had to run in there and add something to it. It was the part I got to thinking about. I said, you know what? When Peter ran down to that tomb, he didn't find Jesus in the tomb. Lazarus, he wouldn't go in Lazarus' tomb. He told Lazarus to come out because Jesus sitting hanging around the tomb. Got that one in the shower. That water stimulating something up there on top of my head, right? Got that one. So I threw that in there. I said, man, that's good right there. I thought about other stuff about that message that I didn't get it in the message today. There's so many things going on about Lazarus coming out of that grave, but it's good to talk about those things. Listen, now, we need to let the world know that God is a part of our life. Not just a part of our life, but that God is our life. You know, not like a byline, not something that we're just going to talk about God today because it's Sunday. We're going to talk about God because it's church day. Man, I mean, we need to talk about God, you know, day by day. I was outside the other day, and you know, I'm getting to, I don't know what it is, but anymore, I am really appreciating sunshine. And we get them old stretches of gray, cloudy weeks, man, and days. It's day in, day out, cloudy. I don't even care if it's cold. I just want to see the sun, man. I mean, I was outside, man, and it was pretty nice out, and I was just looking, I was thinking this. It's part of my testimony. I said, man, God's been good. God has blessed me. God has blessed me, man. I was walking around looking at that outside. I told Sherry today, we went over to a wedding. Ryan Hepler got married today, and they had a wedding. We got invited to it, and we were riding over there on a sunny day. I told her that. I said, man, I really just like the sunny days, man. It just looks so good. God blessed us with a good day today as far as the sun goes. So, you know, we should testify to each other, have a testimony unceasingly. The second thing is in the home. Mark chapter 5, 18 and 19, and this is in the text that deals with the demon-possessed man of Gadara, and I'm going to read this to you. And it was talking about him, and it says, and when he was coming to the ship, this is after Jesus had sent the demons out into the swine, it said, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him, howbeit Jesus suffered him not. So the man that had been possessed prayed that he could be with Jesus. Howbeit, it says, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Think about that. Now, this man didn't know nothing about the Bible. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't know any scripture verses to quote. He didn't know the Romans Road from Route 11. He didn't know nothing. He didn't know anything about that. He didn't know nothing about a sinner's prayer. And Jesus said, listen, all I want you to do is I want you to go home and tell your friends what I have done for you, what I have done for you. That's the testimony right there. I mean, just go home and tell them about that. You don't have to have a great big know all the Bible, this and that and the other thing. The greatest testimony you can have, and it's a really sincere one too, is when we just get around people and say, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. I like that old blind guy. I like that blind guy in the Bible. He was blind and Jesus healed him. He said he'd been blind since birth. And they went over and they asked the parents, and the parents didn't want to get in hot water with the Sadducees and Pharisees. So they said, well, he's old enough. He's of age. He was probably 21. Said, you ask him. He's old enough. You know, just put it all, throw the pass the buck. Talking about throwing your kid under the bus. They said, talk to him right there. And the guy said, hey, What do you mean attributing this, and I'm paraphrasing this somewhat, what do you mean attributing this to this man right here? Don't you know he's a sinner? I like that guy's testimony right here. He said, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. All I know was I was blind and now I see. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that one, man, right there? And what could they? Well, everybody agreed that, yeah, he's been blind all his life and now he sees. They had no answer for that right there. I like that, man. You don't have to know. Somebody want to argue all this stuff about, what color the horse was that was driving the chariot that swept Elijah up. They spelled Nebuchadnezzar twice. I can't spell either. I can't fault them on that. They spelled it different. They want to argue all these points. Listen, don't argue with anybody about what the Word of God says. What your evidence is should be what Jesus Christ has done in your life. Say, well, I don't know if that's right or wrong in the Bible. If you know, that's fine. But you know what? I don't want to argue with you about it. I just know I was lost, and now I know I'm saved. I know I was spiritually dead, and now I know the Spirit of God's dwelling in my heart. That's all you got to know. That's a testimony right there. And so we need to have a testimony, and we need to have it begin at home. He said, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go home and testify to your family and your friends. Listen, if you don't have a testimony at home, you don't have one out of the home. Huh? It's got to begin in the home. You've got to have a testimony there in front of your family, in front of your spouse, in front of your children. Listen, folks, you can be the biggest help and or hindrance to the salvation of your family, just depending on how you live before them. Man, listen, you can't live a hypocritical life in front of your wife or your husband or in front of your kids and get them saved. If they're not seeing it real at home, because see, we're going to be real at home, right? We can look good today. I'm going to tell you what, whenever I get home, half hour, 45 minutes, whatever, after I get home, I'm not going to look nothing like this. Huh? I get up in the morning, I kid around with Gracie all the time in the morning. I come out there and my hair's all sticking up, and a lot of times I do my studying in my sweatpants, t-shirt, hair poked up, don't have my contacts in, so I got my glasses on. And I always tell her, she's the other day they had bad hair day where she goes to her daycare thing. So we're having bad hair day. I said, I can go with you, can't I? Hair's all sticking up. That's because I'm there comfortable. But who we are at home is who we really are, a lot of times. Well, who we are by ourselves, huh? Who we are by ourselves is who we really are. What you're doing by yourself. And so we got to have a testimony at home because, boy, we can really hinder the gospel by a bad testimony at home if we're claiming that Jesus Christ has done something in our life. And so, like I say, if you don't have a testimony at home, you're not going to have a testimony anywhere. If your heart's not right at home, your heart's not going to be right here when you get here. Now, another thing about a testimony, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to have one. Acts 1:8, the Great Commission, the Bible says, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Samaria, Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and uttermost parts of the earth. Almost got it backwards. Starting at Jerusalem, which would be home, and then goes out a little bit farther from there. He says, ye shall be witnesses. Didn't say might, didn't say perhaps. Didn't say, it's kind of up in the air. We're kind of iffy about it. No, you shall be witnesses. So we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's really what God doesn't empower us with the Holy Spirit just so we can get goosebumps running up and down our back, just so it feels like the back of your hair is standing up, just so you can feel like shouting every once in a while. He empowers us with the Holy Spirit to be witnesses, which is testify, testimony, that we have a testimony before the world. Like I said, that old maniac of Gadara, he didn't know nothing about the Bible. He didn't have a Bible. He just knew what Jesus had done for him. See, that's the testimony here. What has God done for you? What has God done for you? That's what we're supposed to be thinking about, or something we should know right there. So we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, and you can't testify. A lot of people, you ask them, well, tell me, brother, what's God been doing in your life? They don't even know. You know why? Part of the problem is they probably not saved. God probably hadn't done anything. Or if he's done anything past salvation, they don't know what it is. It might be part of the problem. And at least if they're not saved, it's a quenching the Holy Spirit by disobedience. Here's another good point right here. Have a testimony at church. The testimony at church, the fourth thing. Ephesians 5:19 says this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, can't talk, and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. Speaking to yourselves, that means to each other. Boy, singing And you know, when you think about it, hey, we're singing unto God, right? But we're also singing to each other. Boy, it's exciting when everybody gets excited. Speaking and speaking psalm, talking about the Word of God. You know what we talk about? Everything under the sun except God. Everything under the sun except God. We'll talk about the football trades and the car racing and the basketball game and the deer hunting and the turkey hunting and all, and that's okay. But we know what we're supposed to also talk about. Let me tell you what God. And you know, I find this is what I find in Christianity today. Everybody's not always excited about the things of God as you are. You start getting on fire for God, you're going to find something out. Huh? You're going to find something out. Man, I went down there, I was all jacked up about our men's prayer meeting. Man, we got that group together down there at Solomon's Mission the other, and I started telling them, hey, let me tell you about what's going on, man. These are supposed to be Christian folks, right? Let me tell you about what's going on. Let me tell you about it. Yeah, okay. You know, I get a lot of that ho-hum. You know, I mean, not everybody. What's the deal here, man? What's the deal right here? You got stuff going, you talk to preachers about it, man. They're not excited about those things. There's something wrong with that right there, man. We're supposed to be speaking to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in our heart. It's not only just singing, it's just talking about the Lord, what God has done, how God has blessed. So, the Bible tells us that we should be encouragers, of one another. We're supposed to do that. And I wrote this one thing down right here. I shared this with my Sunday school class this morning. We went down to Bible camp the other day. I was working on this outline right here, and I saw, well, time's getting short. I wrote something down right here, and I said, I got to run in and take a shower, man. We got to get ready to go. And so we went down to Bible camp, and every year we got a theme. And, they come up with something for a theme. We said, okay, what's going to be the theme? I didn't put my two cents in. I was waiting to see. Somebody said, hey, not ashamed. Not ashamed is going to be the theme. Okay, great. We came back home. I had a tree laying out in the yard. I wanted to cut it up. I got it all sawed up and everything. I said, all right, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to finish off this outline that I'm working on, prayed about it and everything. I went in there. The last thing I wrote down before we left to go to Bible camp, not to be ashamed. I said, hey, Sherry, I said, you ain't going to believe what I wrote down on my notebook. I said, look, I showed it to her. I said, the last thing I wrote was not to be ashamed. We go to Bible camp. Somebody said, what's the theme going to be? Not be ashamed. As God works in a mysterious way. Huh? God works in mysterious ways. And so, 2 Timothy 1:8 says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Not to be ashamed. But I tell you, man, that old nature, that old flesh, man, that sinful nature that we have. And when you first get saved, and you know, oh, hey, listen, everybody can act real spiritual at church. We figure everybody here is at least somewhere close to being on the same page, right? I mean, we're all somewhere close to being, and boy, we can come in, hey, brother so-and-so, hey, sister so-and-so, we're all, we're all about that. We can pray. Oh, it's easy to pray here. What about at the restaurant? When there ain't nobody else around there, you're not real sure if they're Christians. You know, you kind of look, well, see, we better sit over here because we got to pray. And then we're going to pray, and we're going to, amen. You know, not too loud, make sure nobody's looking, right? What about when you're out in public? Huh? Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of being a Christian. If you pray at home, if you pray loud at home, pray loud when you're out in a restaurant. If you're gonna carry your Bible, you don't have to hide it. Throw it in the back seat. Throw it a bunch of stuff on top of it so nobody looking in there will see that you're a Christian. We don't have to be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. We're on the winning side, for crying out loud. Huh? It ain't like your old sports team, you know, they're getting their rear end whipped every year, year in, year out, so you take your old t-shirts and hide them somewhere, you know, and then when they finally get on a winning streak, well, I'll dig them out and I can wear them now. You know, when your team's not doing anything, you know, you got to wear them around like them old Redskin fans. They got to take them shirts and hide them somewhere, huh? Got to wear along there, you know. You don't want to wear them things in public, you know. And I had to drag my old Cowboys stuff out this last year. We was doing pretty good, man. I couldn't find some of them. You know, it's not like that. Listen, man, we're on the winning side all the time. Man, that's it. Somebody was saying something. I can't remember if I said it here, and I thought about it. Maybe I was in a meeting or something like that. Maybe up there at that youth rally. I was thinking about that. Boy, we get all excited about our sports team, man, and we hoot and holler and everything. And what happened? They snatch the rug out from under you. They lose, right? And then you're all bummed out, and you got to wait till next year. We can shout about Jesus Christ all the time, and the great thing is we know he's not going to lose. I mean, it's not going to be like, oh, we're going to get all jacked up for a winning season and then they fall apart at the end of the year, right? Can't make a basket save their life. Jesus, it's a winning side. Boy, there's a team to get on right there. We don't have to be ashamed of the testimony. And, you know, we think about the world we live in right now. And like I say, our flesh is this way. The world out there is okay. You can talk about anything under the sun except God or Jesus Christ. You can't talk about that. You can talk about Buddha. It's okay. You can talk about Muhammad. You can be a Muslim. That's okay. The world will put up with it. You talk about Jesus Christ, they got a problem. And so what our flesh naturally, the old flesh, see, doesn't want to speak publicly about Jesus Christ, but the supernatural man, the Holy Spirit, listen, everything the Holy Spirit does is magnify Jesus Christ. Amen. And everything the Holy Spirit does is to do that. So we see that at church. We ought to have a testimony even at church. And I tell you, it's good testimony when you show up. That's a real good one right there, and it's a bad one when you don't. Always be ready. Number 5. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." This is a deep verse. "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Now, there's a lot to think about in that verse right there. Number one, why would a man ask you about the hope that is in you? Wouldn't they have to see something? They would have to see something in your life that was different than their life for them to even have an idea that you got a different hope or a different outlook than they have. And then they would want to come and ask you about it and said, be ready to give every man an answer. That old blind man, go right back to that blind guy. What are they going to tell? He didn't know nothing else. He's going to say, "Was you blind?" "Yeah, I was blind." "Well, how come you see you now?" "Because this man right here, Jesus Christ, he healed me. He healed me. I don't know nothing, but I just know I was blind and now I see." And he had that testimony right there. That maniac of Gadara, we call him a maniac. He really wasn't a maniac. He was just demon-possessed. Man, but he said, "You know, man, I was possessed with demons, man. I was out in the tombs running, cutting myself, man. They were possessed, and I was out there for years, man. Chains couldn't hold me. Nobody wanted nothing to do with me. Nobody loved me. Nobody getting near me. Everybody was afraid of me. But Jesus came, man, and I mean, I was in my right mind sitting clothed at his feet. I tell you, I was able to go home to my family and friends. All I know is them demons, he ran them demons out into the swine, and they went down into the sea, man. That's all I know, man. I mean, he's the man right there, Jesus Christ. I got that testimony. You got to be ready to give every man a testimony. You know, we ought to be ready, man. Somebody wants to know something about God, we ought to be able to take the Bible, study the Word of God enough that we can say, look, this is how you get saved right here. If you don't even have a Bible, you ought to be able to tell them off the top of your head how they need to be saved. Psalm 66:16 says, "Come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Listen, man, I'm going to ask you something. What do you have to tell? What do you have to tell? If somebody says, listen, man, tell me what Jesus Christ has done for you. What do you got to say? What's your testimony? Psalm 119:46 says, "I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed." That might be a good one for Bible camp right there. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed. Listen, the Bible's full of people after they met Jesus and after he dealt with them, they had a testimony. I've talked about this before. There's a couple of people, because of the timing of the issue is what I think it mostly has to do with, where Jesus told him, said, listen, don't tell anybody what I did. There was a couple in the Bible where he says, listen, don't tell him. I think because his time wasn't right and he knew what would happen, but he healed somebody or he dealt with somebody. He said, don't tell him. And guess what they did? They was disobedient. In that human nature, man. Maybe I should try that reverse psychology. Don't y'all come, man. Don't you come on Tuesday night. Don't nobody come back Wednesday night. Do not come back on Wednesday night. Do not come to the revival. Huh? But y'all wouldn't listen then, man. You'd listen to what I got to say now. Huh? Yeah, he said, listen, don't tell them. But you know what? They couldn't help it. Man, they just couldn't bottle it up. He said, don't go tell. And they went and told it all over. Now, most of the people, he said, listen, I want you to go and tell and you know, give a testimony. Like I said, man, that old blind man, I mean, man, he couldn't help it. He had it. That demon-possessed man, he couldn't help it. There's an old song on the radio. I've been hearing it now. It's a real cool song. I hear it on I listen to Southern Gospel on Pandora sometimes. Sometimes when I usually drive in the car. And it's a story about this boy. He's running. And they say, you know, and the story goes along, what are you running from? And he said, I want to tell you, man, that the lame walk and those that were demon-possessed, the demons are possessed out, he's healing and doing this. And he says, and if you don't believe me, ask the blind man. He saw it all. He said that's how it's all in rhyme, like a song goes. But yeah, he's running to tell about these other things, and he says, "And if you don't believe me, ask the blind man. He saw it all." I thought, man, that is really good, man. What a testimony right there, man. The blind man. You know, Lazarus, we talked about Lazarus this morning coming out of that tomb, man. I mean, man, Lazarus had a testimony. You know what? It says, the Bible even tells us this. I don't think I put the verse down. I looked at it this morning. But that people came out and people got saved because of Lazarus. Amen. They come out and saw what Jesus had did for Lazarus and they got saved. That tells me that people will come out. People will get saved. When we got a testimony in this world of what Jesus Christ has done in our life, that people will get saved because of that. I mean, man, that is a powerful, powerful statement, because they couldn't deny it. People knew that Lazarus had died. He'd been in the grave 4 days already. People knew that boy was blind and he'd been blind all his life. There was no denying it. No denying it. And we're supposed to have it maybe. I mean, none of us were probably blind and none of us were called out of the grave yet. We can be called out of that spiritual grave, like I said this morning. But boy, when God works in our life in a powerful way and there is no denying it, and you're willing to tell people about that, what God has done, man, the world can't deny that. There's people that'll get saved because they're going to see, they're looking to see if it's real. There's all kind of fake stuff in the world today. We were talking last week sometime about all the fake things of fake Rolex watches and the fake designer purses and clothes and this and that and the other thing. All people are looking to see, man, they check and want to check everything to make sure it's the real thing. Christianity. They're looking to see if it's real. They're looking to see it's real. Because see, they already want to say, they like that. And I know it's just an excuse. They won't be able to use it, but, oh, they're a bunch of hypocrites. Or me and Diana were talking about, just a bunch of hypocrites. Everybody's a hypocrite, really. Right? Aren't we all hypocritical to some degree? Yeah. All them old hypocrites are just hypocrites, or them people that, you know, this, that, and the other thing. They got all the excuses out there, but they're looking for it. They're looking for a thing. They're looking for the real thing. And when we got it, man, you know, the guys, I don't know if the blind man was a hypocrite or not. I know he wasn't hypocritical about one thing. He was blind and now he saw. That was real. He might have had some other hypocrisy in the life, but that was real. And Lazarus come out of that grave. And it said people, because people came out to see Lazarus. Like I said, I'd like to talk to him. We get to heaven one day, I'm going to talk to him about that whole deal right there. They wanted to talk to him. And I want to tell you about this too with Jesus. All over the Bible, there was multitudes of people he preached to that hung around. But they didn't have no testimony. And, you know, they just came. And some of them, the Bible says that they didn't follow Jesus anymore. And in one place it says that Jesus wouldn't commit to them because he knew their hearts. He had been working miracles, and everybody likes to see a horse and pony show. And he was working miracles, and they came out. But it said Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. He knew their hearts. He knew that they weren't sincerely looking for salvation. They weren't sorry for their sins. They wasn't ready to repent. They just wanted to see the show. That's all it was. They didn't have a testimony. None of these people, the people that hung around. And listen, man, you can hang around church till you're blue in the face, but that don't mean you got a testimony of what God's doing in your life. Amen. Right? You can be here week in, week out, sing all the songs, and there's a lot of people listening right now. I'm telling you, there's people that come to this church week in, week out, sit here, and I know right off the bat, if you ask them, you'll never pin them down. They don't have a testimony of what Jesus Christ is doing in their life. But those that trusted Jesus, those that confessed, those that were healed, those that were saved, they all had a testimony of what God was doing in their life. Which brings me to this point that I was trying to get to, and I thought I'd get there a lot quicker than I did, but I didn't. Anybody got a testimony tonight about what God's done in their life? You got the crickets keyed up? What's your testimony, brother?
Last week I had an opportunity to speak to this church over in Big Castle, and God's opened that door for me multiple times. And it had come up about 2 weeks ago. I was in Oklahoma, and I started praying, God gave me the message he wanted. I go online and I look at sermon outlines and get different ideas and things, and I felt like I was going to preach on something in prayer. So I was in Daniel 9, and I got like 10 pages worth of notes together. My manager was looking on the plane, and I was finishing typing it up, and he goes, "Oh, Daniel 9, that's good." And I was like, "Yeah, I think that's what God wants me to do." I got home and told Danielle, "I think I'm ready. I'm at ease with it." I felt like, but man, Friday night, God had a different idea. I didn't sleep Friday night. I seen every hour on the clock Friday night. Not this Friday night, last Friday night. Tossed and turned all night. Finally, about 4:35, I got out of bed and said, "That's it, God. What do you want me to do? Give me a piece about it." I went up to the kitchen table and I prayed, and I got two pieces of white paper out, and at the top of it, I just wrote audible. I have no idea why I wrote the word audible. And I'm like, okay, what's audible mean? Well, audible as an adjective means hearing, doing something here. It also, as a noun, means doing something, or you're doing something. Like if you're a quarterback and a football team, you guys play football and you're calling audible. Why do you call it audible? Because the defense is doing something over there, and the play that the coach sent in ain't the right play. So you see something, so you start giving signs to all these people to run a different route. Well, God threw me an audible. And I sat there that morning and wrote down just two pages of notes, and most of the time it takes me 10 pages of notes to speak for 30 minutes. All right? That's all I can tell you. Like, this is it. But I had an ease about it. I had no idea how it was going to happen. When I got that church Sunday morning, that church, there's this little lady sitting back in that far left-hand corner, as far back as you can get. She can't get any farther. She's out of the church. And she falls asleep. Every time I've been there, she falls asleep. She didn't fall asleep, she did. I started preaching at 10 after 10, and at 10 after 11, I had just finished. I don't know what I said. I don't know what was going on. I was sweating. I was hot. My throat was killing me. And all I can tell you is, man, my parents are about to pass out. Daniel and the kids.